Come and see. Seems like a fairly simple thing to do. This verse was the theme verse, the theme pericope passages for our delegation in Nicaragua. It was the reading in our first Bible study that set us up and readied us to go and see Laurel Galán. Have you ever had someone invite you, even urge you, to come and see something, and you had no idea, really, in advance, what you were going to be looking at? Perhaps you had to get up and go to another room in the house where a surprise would be revealed. You know, maybe your partner had a new home improvement project they just couldn't wait to show you. You weren't too sure that you wanted to see it. Just come with me. No explanation. Just close your eyes, he said, perhaps. Keep them closed, she said. You might have been excited. Or you might have felt even some apprehension. Perhaps you were worried that you weren't going to like what you saw. Or perhaps you thought you'd like it, but not as much as the person doing the inviting needed you to like it. I've had a couple of these experiences. Invitations to accompany a family member or a friend to see something new. Some of these experiences have turned out badly. Some of them have turned out beautifully. When I was turning 9, my family had just moved to town from the farm, and I must say, I had my hopes up for this birthday. I had been telling my dad forever, for months, oh dad, please, on the farm I had a three-wheeler, a little ATV that I got to ride around and have fun on, sometimes bring my friends on the back. You know, as they do when they tipped over, you would come out of the shop where you were working and you would ride it for me and I'd go around a few more times and you could hear me and all of a sudden it would stop. Then I would sort of waddle run in, Dad, could you please put the three-wheeler back up? Well, Dad, I don't want a three-wheeler anymore. We're in town now. That's too dangerous here. I want a four-wheeler. Much more stable. And, Dad was entertaining this idea. And there was this one day, it was about a week before my birthday. Dad was like, whoa, I got your birthday present today. Oh, you did? You got my birthday? Oh, yes, I did. I'm kind of excited about it, he said. Oh, well, what is it? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can tell you. It's still a week from your birthday. Oh, Dad, please. Okay, well, it's outside. It's outside? Oh, yes, it's kind of heavy. It is? Oh, Dad, what is it? Well, it's in the back of the pickup truck. Oh! I think I know where this is going. It's like, okay. Close your eyes. Keep them closed now. Come with me. All right now. Stand facing the street. Don't look. I've got to take down the tailgate and open up the back of the truck. Oh, Dad, I can't wait. As he unlatches the tailgate, okay, turn around, and I open my eyes. Why, that's just a stupid lawnmower. But John, it's a four-wheeler. I was very disappointed. That experience didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. Then in college, I had another experience with a young woman who was my best friend. And one day, she just came to the house where we were living and was, "John, I want to show you something." And she blindfolded me. And I wasn't sure I wanted to follow. I played these games before. And she led me slowly through streets near the house where we were living, turning right, going forward, turning left. All of a sudden, without my sight, she had me bending down, and she guided my hands to touch and feel this most beautiful arrangement of wild mushrooms that were growing along the side of the road. And it was an odd sensation. She had such this passion and amazement and curiosity and childlike glee at this discovery. I even now, I don't really remember what the mushrooms were like, but I had this new vision of her and the way that she saw things and the way that she interacted with the world and how she wanted to share it with me. The second story is not all that unlike what transpired with our delegation's trip to Nicaragua. The three of us were told some things in advance about what we were going to see, and we had some of our past experiences to rely on, but really, we were still somewhat blindfolded. There were uncertainties remaining. And then the blindfold was taken off, and we arrived in Laurel Glen, and perhaps we were not entirely sure what it was that we saw. We sort of got an initial feel for things. We probably saw best through relationships than with our eyes. And we really couldn't avoid seeing the world in a different way afterwards. In our gospel passage today, after a testimonial by John the Baptist, these newly called disciples, the first disciples called to Jesus' side in John's Gospel, they were invited to a personal encounter. This invitation to a new journey of faith opens the whole narrative of the unfolding identity of Jesus of Nazareth in this Gospel. What a vision. It was a three-step introduction. Before this, there was the baptism of Jesus by John, the calling of the disciples, and later, at the beginning of John 2, the miracle of turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana. As Pastor Steve reminded us last week, it's quite a party. The party, however, we don't always expect to find. We may kind of expect a lawnmower in the back of the truck after meeting Jesus. Instead of this disappointing requirement to mow the lawn each and every week, maybe we find instead a certain sort of relational beauty. And perhaps it won't be until we've lived forward into life, perhaps much, much further, that we can understand and even enjoy the lawnmower. Kierkegaard's famous aphorism says that life can only be understood backwards, but that it must be lived forwards. Bonhoeffer concurs that one must live, read the Bible forward and interpret it backward. There's some suspense involved, like in our lives, and opportunities for re-examination. This re-examination, I think, maybe I've started the sermon today in the wrong spot in our reading. Because before Jesus said, "Come and see," he said, "What are you seeking?" It's the first time that Jesus speaks in this gospel. Perhaps Jesus, who is as yet such an outsider prophet, perhaps he thought that anyone who noticed him at all was looking for something. Perhaps it's that way still. The question of Jesus' identity is bound up in the human search for meaning, one search that perhaps we know well in this often rootless, restless time. 23 times this verb of seeking appears in this gospel, somewhat ambiguously. Does it mean the seeking of God's will, or that of oneself, or of humanity and the community more broadly? Perhaps some combination of the three. And the two new disciples, I don't think they really had an answer. Where do you live? They said. Where do you abide? This can also mean, where is your deep loyalty or attachment, residing, staying, abiding? To whom, to what are you bonded? I kept expecting to hear in this piece of the scriptures an answer. They asked him where he lived, and we get no reference to a place afterwards. All we get is a time reference. Well, it was the 10th hour. Expectation, tension. Jesus, wise, sage, teacher, rabbi, lamb, is inviting them to name their yearning. Frustratingly, much like Pastor Steve sometimes does, you know, the way he offers you up some open-ended answers. Oh yes, that is interesting. I wonder how that will turn out. I wonder. Because that's the only way that our transformation will truly take hold, empower us, when we are invited in to the journey, where we can see and feel and experience and be in relationship. As to my discomfort, I think, as I began to report back last week on the experience in Nicaragua, seeking an answer to tell you something about what I had seen and what it meant, I think I was running into a barrier of wanting to give a specific answer, finding a way to motivate the congregation to move forward. But I want simply to invite you to come and see in some ways that I have. Begin to think about if you might be able to go to Nicaragua in the future, to visit, to be part of the delegation, to be in relationship with these people. I sometimes look for too much certainty and forget that we don't know where we're going. Last week I spoke about luxuries that we have here that perhaps are not present in Nicaragua. But I think that the luxury that I most overlooked that we have, that I know that I experienced, is that I had the privilege to think that there might be something that I could do for them. And I think it's time for me to give that up and simply be with them, to accompany them. If the delegation was meant to serve as a renewal of the hermanamiento relationship, and in looking at this gospel, I think then Laurel Galán is represented here as the body of Christ, that to which we have been invited to come and see the goodness of God. Which means we also need to see what they have to offer us. What is being made new here? I know that I saw the hermanamiento frequently gathering in a circle, speaking together, providing mutual support, empowerment. There was a way in which they stood together against isolation. And I think that in suburban communities such as ours, where neighbors are perhaps far away, that is something that we can offer each other. Being called into a community of moral deliberation, a base community in which and through which we are formed to counter narratives of individuality and isolation. By its very existence, the Church acknowledges that unless a theology is embodied socially, human beings will not be able to live that theology. The Church exists because it is a social reality that tries to live in relation to God. We asked this community of Laurel Galán to tell us what they wanted. And they are still discerning. What do you want of us, friends? What they are thinking that they most need, what they have identified, is a renewal of the community loan program that Peace had seeded years ago, and perhaps needs a second look, something that we perhaps haven't looked at for some time. I don't know exactly where we're going with Laurel Galán, but they have invited us to be with them. And we have something as much to learn from them as we might be able to contribute. I'm glad that we can be the church together. And I'm glad that we can expand the circle to have so many neighbors, whether they're new neighbors presenting tonight on Sanskrit and the Hindu tradition, or their new neighbors in another country. There is a relationship to answer to be called out to meet. And because I so often want the answer now and get frustrated, want to know where the salvation is going to be, I'm going to close with this prayer. To assuage my frustrations. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.